Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of the 423 Soccer Pod, the podcast that CFC built. This is Jim, a.k.a. Chad Gunner, and tonight it's just me and Shelly. So just the two of us.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
So Todd is in Colorado at some wedding. So apparently somebody decided to get married and did not take our recording schedule into consideration. And then Shabby is in Orlando. Is that where she said she was?
Yeah, I think they're at Disney. But
they're at Disney. So
yeah, but she is voiceless. So
So just two of us sitting here in Chattanooga, where the other two are off gallivanting around the United States, vacationing and having a good old time. I'm just sitting in my house in Brainerd, and you're not sitting in your house in Brainerd. You're sitting in a house somewhere else.
Yeah, I'm in Harrison.
Harrison. So, All right. Well, so Shelly, we've had both a men's and a women's match since we talked. I guess in chronological order, it would have been the
women's
first because they were Friday.
They played
right?
on Friday.
Yeah. So we could talk a little bit about that. This is everything that I saw about the women's match.
Just like me.
Yeah. That's all. That was it.
We painted the picture in our head.
So you asked me right before we started recording if I had gone down, and I went back and forth and back and forth. I really wanted to go, and then I allowed myself to come home. I even left work a little early, and I allowed myself to come home and sit down. Then I was like, this is nice just sitting here with Luna and watching some TV. And you know what? There's always the stream. And then I'm reminded of our amateur days in the MPSL. The only way you can guarantee that you're going to see CFC play on the road is if you drive there and watch them.
Exactly. I mean, we need to get that's so MPSL for old time's sake.
Yeah. I learned my lesson. I'm going to remind myself next time that I'm gonna have a little mantra. I'm not gonna rely on the feed. I'm not gonna rely on the feed. I'm not gonna rely on the feed. I'm going to go. I'm going to drive. So, but that's not necessary this weekend, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. I mean, I still have to drive, but yes. I'll only have to drive down
Short commute. It's about 10 minutes.
I only have to drive down to Finley Stadium to see the women play this weekend. But before that, let's talk about a nice 4-2 victory from CFC over Bay Cities.
Boy, was it a good night.
What were your overall views of the match, Shelly?
Well, you know, as we talked about last Thursday leading up into it in our predictions, I was a little nervous. Not that the guys have been playing well. But Bay Cities was a new team this year. They've done relatively well. They've looked pretty strong. So that made me a little nervous because we haven't, been able to see much of them. So I think taking that into account, and it's not that I wasn't pleasantly surprised, but I was ecstatic, basically, is how I will go with it. Because we came out just ready to go, ready to prove something. And I think it helps because we were at home. We had a little bit of a stint on the road. So mm-hmm. I think that the boys looked great. It was a very cohesive looking team. We didn't look as chippy as we have sometimes against our new opponents. And it wasn't quite a haul, but Taylor Gray, let me tell you, man of the match. He almost got that haul. But, he did have one heck of a night, and pretty happy with him. Got that hat trick. So.
He sure did. And he came really close to getting four.
He did. Quite close. I really thought that he might press to try to get that fourth just to say that he had the Marcus happen.
Well, yeah. And I don't know if you heard.
Or the Nagel said.
Yeah, I think he said in an interview after the game that, he scored a hat trick. And after the match was over, Marcus was still giving him grief because he only scored three. Which I like to
hear. Nothing too bad. I mean, come on now.
But I like to hear that, the players giving them giving themselves a little grief. It's nice. But we had, the starting 11 was, I can't remember exactly the differences. It's a fairly similar starting 11. We've had those three up top with Gray, Nagelstad, and Jones. They've been up there. McGrath, Dixon, Cerro in the middle, with Dixon coming back and sitting in as the six, with Ward and Robertson outside and Martinez and Stripling inside. So Martinez is back, of course. He's been back a couple of games now. And Spielman wasn't in, but this time he was on the bench. So,
which is good. So that makes me feel better. Cause he obviously didn't travel when we were at Flower City.
Yeah. So he wasn't there.
Up the air.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm not sure, maybe he got a little knock and just couldn't make the trip. Maybe something else came up. I don't know. But he was on the bench. He did not get in the game, but he was at least on the bench for Bay Cities. And like you said, we started out pretty quickly. Gray with that first goal, like in the first 10 minutes, was like the seventh minute or something like that.
Yeah, seventh minute exactly. It was just right out the gate.
Yeah, there was nice bit of pressure on Bay Cities in their own third. We get the ball in crossing. I can't remember if it may have been Brett who crossed the ball across to Gray, and Gray beat his man at the far post and headed it in for his first CFC goal, if I remember correctly. We've been wondering when he was going to get those scoring boots on. He's had some chances. He's missed some chances. He took this one with his head and made no doubt. And it was a great start for the club and a great start for the guys.
Agreed. And then we had, after we had that, we had some free kicks going on. So Alex McGrath, it was nearly missed at that 17-minute mark. So I thought maybe we would go up a second there.
Yeah, it's always, you're sitting at one, when you're up one, you're always kind of waiting for that second goal. And we had a couple of chances, and then we actually thought we had the second goal.
Yeah, we sure did. Marcus, coming out, going strong, trying to do, I think, a repeat of the previous week against Flower City, but unfortunately it got called back.
Yeah. Travis Ward, excuse me. Travis Ward coming down the left, beat a man and was going down to cross it. And I was really, really confused. He crossed the ball in. Marcus heads it in. The team's celebrating. Everybody's celebrating. And you look up, and the linesman has his flag up. And I'm like, okay, there's no way Ward was offside because he dribbled the ball past the last defender. And then he cut the ball back from the goal line, which means there's no way.
Wasn't offside.
Any CFC player was offside. No. So I was completely confused and completely befuddled. I even went back, sat down because I was ticked, sat down and pulled up the 11 app on my phone and watched over and over. I'm like, this doesn't make any sense. And then finally I somebody texted me and said, hey, I think they called it that it went over the line.
Over the line. Yes.
And then I was like, well, that's the only thing it could be. But from where I was sitting, it didn't look like it was over. I understand that the 11 feet is not the, it's not the high, it's not high definition. Let's put it that way. I couldn't tell there. So, I figured that it was just I thought it was a bad call. And I guess some people who were watching at home thought it was a bad call. So I was just sitting in my ref feels throughout halftime, because I was like, why don't we get hometown calls in Findlay? We don't seem to get hometown calls.
If we're going to get them anywhere. And I don't know if you've noticed, if you looked on any of Twitter, it was Sunday or Monday, Marcus and a couple of others actually did a screen grab from the feed to show exactly where the ball was. Mm-hmm. And
I will say this. It's within the margin of error that I should not have gotten upset at the ref, because it's close enough. I understand that
it's close enough. I can see why they called it.
Yeah.
It's not like it was so off the wall that they just called it for no reason. They shouldn't have, but I get why.
I don't think he could see it. I mean, he was on the completely other side. He wasn't really in position. I think he just guessed. And I still think the ball was technically in, but it was really, really close.
It sure looks like it. And honestly, yeah. We can't go if we don't have VAR.
Well, I don't know if you saw the tweet I put where you, from the other angle, there was a clear angle where it was obviously in.
Mm-hmm. I know, I did see that too. So, if the result had ended up not in our favor at the very end of the night.
Yeah. Yes.
I'd be a little bit ticked, but now I'm just kind of like, eh. I mean, I hate it. We would have had an extra goal, but all things considered, can't be fully mad.
So we go into halftime, 1-0 up, right?
We're up. Yep, we sure did. Halftime. Yeah, with 1-0 whenever the halftime whistle was called.
And then we get, in the second half, we get a penalty that gives us that chance for the second goal. And to be honest, you know, as I look at it, I do think the Bay City's player steps on Marcus. I also think that Marcus went down like he was shot.
Yes. You know, at this point, he had a goal taken away in the first half. And can we really fault him for putting on some theatrics if that's what it took?
he made the most of that. From the stands, I thought that's just a flat out dive. Like, it just looked, and when the ref gave it, I'm like, okay, there's our makeup call for the goal that was ruled out in the first half. When I watch it, there is contact.
I
don't want to besmirch Sir Nagelstad.
No, not at all. It was warranted.
But
we just had a little extra flair to get us.
As our friends across the pond say, he made a meal of it. So, but we'll give it to him. And he steps up and finishes that for that second goal, which was really, I was at that point, I'm like, you know, Bay City's really hadn't done much. They really didn't have a lot.
They weren't attacking very well, or just not much at all.
They couldn't keep the ball.
No, not at all.
And we were pressing fairly high up. I thought we were in complete control of that match. And then we get the third, which I thought, okay, this is done and dusted. Again, Gray with his brace at that point, where he rounded the keeper and put it in with his left foot. That gives him a headed goal and a left foot goal. So he's at that point, 2/3 of the way to the hat trick. And I was feeling very comfortable.
Yeah. We were showing great possession of the ball. And especially the fact that it was the 50th minute mark when we had the penalty and we got that. And then just 6 minutes later. So it was kind of a repeat in reverse first half, just coming out there, because it was the 7 minute mark whenever Taylor got his first goal. So I felt really good. Not always. I say this all the time. One goal is great. I feel way better when we have a buffer.
Sure. So, I mean, I thought.
And you get that momentum. You're coming in. Now we got three at that point, and you feel really good. Like, okay. Yeah.
I thought the game was over. Bay Cities had shown nothing.
Yeah. Honestly, at that point, I thought that it would end the night at a 3-0. I did not expect, if anything else had happened on our end, I would have been just happy as a clam, but I was not expecting to have any type of rebuttal coming back at us from Bay Cities. I really was not expecting it.
Well, they had other thoughts.
Yeah.
They had
some other tricks in their bag.
they did step up the intensity a little bit. And got on the ball a little more, attacked a little more, threw numbers ahead a little more, and got a goal off of what I thought at the time was had to have been deflected. And sure enough, there was a pretty big deflection.
Yes.
Because it's just KG just looked completely, just wrong footed on that goal. And I didn't understand really what had happened. Other than, it kind of looked funny. And then I guess on replay, there's clearly a pretty big deflection. So there's really not a whole lot he could do. That puts him up 3-1. And I'm like, okay, we've given them their consolation.
They got their consolation prize.
Yeah. And, we're going to go ahead and move and go on. Well, basically just didn't stop. And how much time
it was at the 68th minute mark is whenever they went up two.
When they got their second goal,
Goal. So it was a matter of minutes apart.
It was. And I was, I was looking down. I'm not sure what I was doing. Oh, I know what I was doing. So I had been asked to tag one of the later games that night. And so I was on my phone putting in the rosters into the 11 Sports, kind of their back end software. I was getting the game ready. So I was down. I thought, hey, it's 3-1. You know, this game's over. And I was down doing that. And all of a sudden I look up and I'm like, wait a minute, I asked Heather, did they just score? Why is the ref pointing to the center circle? Did they just score again? And she says, yeah, they did. And I was
this
like,
this is what happens when you multitask in a match, Jim. Yeah,
I know. And then I have to admit, I was like, oh, I mean, cause it, you know, that was really the first time Bay Cities had attempted to apply pressure, and they get two quick goals. I'm like, what's?
I know, and I got a little nervous. I'm not gonna lie, because we're, you know, over halfway through the second half at that point. Anything could happen, and as we well know, one goal when you're already up three, okay, that's one thing. But then when you get two, and so it's basically a 1-point match, it can rattle you and really start falling apart. We've seen it happen before in the past. Glad that didn't happen.
No, so it didn't.
For those of you that did not watch and haven't seen at home, we held on.
the guys really just shut it down. I don't remember Bay Cities threatening after that. I could be wrong. I haven't gone back and really watched the match. But and then we Ferreira came on. We had some other subs that came on a little bit later, and then we saw really, I guess, a real quintessential center forward play. I don't know, you know, I should have done my homework more, Shelley. I don't know who played the long ball to Ferreira, but he brought that down, split the defenders. And if you've not seen the video, Jake Haley put up a really nice video that shows the complete play, shows the ball coming in, shows Ferreira kind of a really nice first touch to bring the ball down, settles it with his feet, splits the guy, has to fight through two defenders, and just makes those two center backs for Bay Cities just look like kids.
Yes.
And kind of sloughs them off, gets the ball under control. And you can't see this on the video, but if you watch it from the broader angle, we've got two runners on either side of him. We've got Damien. That's who else came in. Damien
was so fast. Every time he gets on and runs, he's flying by.
He was flying down the right side. And then Taylor Gray was kind of making a little bit later run down the left, almost kind of ghosting. Well, he was making a run, but Ferreira looks up right at Damien, and his eyes move the defenders. Both defenders start paying a little more attention to the run that Damien is making. And while they are paying attention to that, and I think one of them even takes multiple steps towards Damien, Ferreira has other ideas. And he had noticed Taylor making that run down the left and puts in just a nasty back heel right into Taylor's path. And Taylor takes a couple of steps, looks where the keeper is, then looks down at the ball and just puts his foot through it and roofs it. Really nice finish for his hat trick. Yeah. I mean, he could have had it. He could have had a hat trick earlier where I think it was Nagelstad crossed the ball to him and the defender made a last gasp tackle to get the ball before Taylor could finish it. But that whole play, just classic center forward number nine play, straight up the middle of the field, bringing the ball down and then passing it off. It was really nice. And it was nice in the stands, but if you've not seen that video, you got to go back and watch it.
Yeah, the Jay guy, I mean, he always gets really great footage, but it was a really, because of the angle that he get that you just can't see on the stream that we did because of where the stationary, there are static cameras that we're using. you get a really different feel for it. And I mean, it was special to watch in person, but the replay is nice. And I'm glad that we actually have it cataloged.
Absolutely. It's just a really nice passage to play. And I don't really, it wasn't a whole lot in the rest of the match. I had to leave after the fourth goal went in. I was like, you know, okay, I feel better. And we got in the car and headed out because I told Nisa I would help. So I missed the fireworks.
The fireworks?
I didn't get to see them. So
they were nice. It was great. Have you seen the photos? Some players doing some cool down runs on the field in the middle of them.
That's right. They're running in the middle of the fireworks. And with Nagelstad just sitting there watching them run. I enjoyed that. I enjoyed that too. Yeah. I mean, it was all around good night. Like a decent crowd, 2,800, 2,900.
Yeah, it was almost 2,900. Yeah. And honestly, I think every match that we're going, you know, each one that follows the previous, it's feeling a little bit more, you know, the energy is a lot like it was.
Yeah, I really was surprised.
I feel like we're getting back to how it used to be.
I thought there were more. To be honest,
felt like it. I honestly thought it'd be over 3,000, but yeah.
It filled up around me. I mean, like where I sit, it was pretty full. And looking around, it felt like you said, more like a before COVID, pre-COVID kind of summer CFC match. So, but it was a good crowd. It was loud.
Did the bubbles make it to you?
They didn't make it all the way to me. We need to have bubble captains at like multiple.
See the bubble bazooka we're thinking of purchasing.
Yeah, we need to buy like three or four, and then have like one person in 109, 108, then one person like at 106, and then somebody like at 104, 103,
just as soon as it hits the net, just
the whole yeah. The whole either that or when we do stand up at the end of the halves, the first the two halves, we do bubbles at the end of the halves.
That would work too.
It'd be awesome. I think it'd be great.
Every match we are increasing our bubble intakes and output. So the bubble bazooka is next. And it's something to behold. I'll have to send you a link later because it's
Well, we need multiple bubble bazookas. Are they gonna allow those in the stands? Have we cleared those with
We're allowed to bring bubbles. We set them up with TIFO. We kind of stage them around. So it's kind of part of the match day setup because it doesn't hurt anyone. It doesn't mess up the field. It's not smoke. I mean,
God forbid.
We are not sabotaging with darkness and smell and smoke. sabotaging
with bubbles. Yeah. I think if we can get multiple of those and just fill up the stands with bubbles, like the last minute of the first half and the last minute of the second half, it'd be awesome. So that was the match on Saturday. You know, we don't really have a whole lot else to talk about. We do have our first home match. I don't know if you want to talk about that for, you know, who we're playing and.
Yeah, we're so excited. So, I mean, CFC women have made it back, but they're now going to be welcomed home. So we want to give them a huge welcome party and for Saturday night. So on Saturday, we are playing North Alabama. So we haven't played them yet because obviously there's two Alabama teams. So first time that we will be up against them, we play them at 7:30 on Saturday at Fort Finley. So it's going to be pretty special. Not that it wasn't special to have the two home matches, but it's special because we actually are welcoming them physically back home. We're getting ready for that. The Women's Advisory Board's really excited. So look for your game week, the digital match day program. A little message from us. If you want to come and tailgate, obviously, if you want to make a full game day experience out of it, you can come and tailgate with the Chattahooligans starting at 3:30 on the Grassy Knoll, which is the north lot. If you all aren't aware, the Grassy Knoll is the big old patch of grass right there by the parking lot. And we will march in at 7:00. So if you've never done a march in, no time like the present. Help us welcome those women back to the stands. So yeah, we're excited. I'm excited. And then we have a doubleheader the following week. So
that's
two
right.
women's home matches right in a row.
Yep. And so just if folks don't know, there are five teams in our kind of conference. There's Nashville. There's Alabama FC, which is in Birmingham. There's North Alabama, which is in Huntsville, around Huntsville. And then there's Knoxville, and then us. And so we've played two of those teams, of course, and we've come up on the short end of those first two matches against some quality competition. This will be a match between two teams that haven't won yet. So North Alabama is 0-2 and as are 0-0-2 as are we. And hopefully the women can get out there. We can give them a boost and have a little bit of home field advantage, play on a slightly larger pitch and make some things work. I'm really looking forward to it. I'd love to see over 1,000 people there. We'll see. You know, we'll see what happens.
Back then, it's a big weekend in Chattanooga, so anything could happen. But also to remind everyone, because it is the first match in June, and it's Pride Razor. We talked about Pride Razor last week. So get your pledges in, because for every goal scored by the women or the men this month, that's that much more money for UTC Spectrum, because that's the organization that we are supporting this year. And if you haven't, you can actually find it. It's really easy at cha.prideraiser.org. So that's easy to find. Right. That'll take you straight to the Chattahooligans and CFC's Pride Razor page. Put in that donate.
And if you go, or if you just go to prideraiser.org and you're in Chattanooga, you'll probably see the Chattahooligans campaign really close. I mean, they're kind of geo tagged. So if you're in the area, you'll see the Chattahooligan campaign up top. We are currently almost to $700 per goal, which is amazing. I'm so excited. We have a ton of matches in June. I am really looking forward to this, and I know that the students are really excited about it. If you can, please consider giving to this cause. It's a great student group doing work on our local university campus. They cannot receive funding from the institution. And so, you know, that they sometimes, you know, kind of figuring out how they can get some funding to do the programming that they want to do. And so we're really excited. I'm really excited as an employee of UTC to see us supporting our students. And I, you know, like I said last week, I'm really humbled that the Chattahooligans agreed to take them on, and really the campaign's going well. So if you think about it and you can, please consider giving.
And if June is anything like our May has been, we are going to have a lot of potential to raise a lot of money.
That's right. Yeah. We just need now we just need Brett. Brett needs to get his his hat trick boots on. We've had a hat trick from Taylor, a haul from Marcus. What's five called? What's five goals called? That's what Brett's just waiting on. What is five goals?
I mean, five's a pentagon. We can come up with something with that. Still called a pentagram. not the above. We're going to want to throw out there.
A glut.
Okay.
A glut.
Okay.
So we have a hat trick, a haul.
And a glut.
Now we need a glut, and then it'll go back to Marcus for the double hat trick.
Okay. We like this.
And then it'll go to Marcus for a double hat trick, then back to Taylor for the haul trick. So and then eight goals in one game. I don't even if Brett scores that, we're just going to call that the Brett trick.
Yeah, so at that point too, we need just to impart a mercy rule on our opponent.
That's right. All right. So a glut. That's what we're going for now, guys. Somebody, I don't know who out there is up for a glut of goals.
If you can make that happen, especially on doubleheader night, that'd be great.
That'd be awesome. Yep. So I think, you know, right now the men are somewhat on a roll. We're in first place.
We are. Yeah. Whenever I checked on Tuesday morning, we were sitting in first.
Yeah. So we're sitting in first place in the East. The women have some work to do, but I know, you know, there have been, there's a good article in the Chattanoogan. Our friend Joseph wrote a nice article where he talked to Coach. There was a nice article on about Silva. What's her first name? Why can't I remember her name?
Anna Silva.
I believe is Anna Silva. The protagonist did a nice interview with her. So, you know, we're getting the word out about the Chattanooga Football Club women's team. And if you want to be a part of it, please come out to Findlay on Saturday at 7:30. So is there anything else that you want to talk about, Shelly, or we'll get up, we'll have an early night.
Yeah, I guess it'll be an early night. It'll be a short episode for everyone. So we miss Todd and we miss Shaddy, but glad that we could at least impart some thoughts on previous weekend's matches.
But clearly we were able to be more succinct without them here. So we were able to get through this a lot quicker. So just for those of you who have suffered through our 35 or 40 minutes, just imagine what would have been like if Todd and Shaddy were here. So we'd probably still be talking about, I don't know what we'd be talking about, but well, Shelly, thanks for joining on with me tonight. Hey, if folks want to find you on the intertubes, how can they find you?
They can find me on Twitter at ShellyAirs82.
And as folks know, if you want to block me, mute me, yell at me, or laugh with me about NISA and lower league soccer, you can do that at Chattagooner on the Twitter. And with that, we hope to see you at Findlay at 7:30 this Saturday for the first home women's match in 4+ years for the Chattanooga women. Go CFC. Chattanooga, we are here! Shuffle, oh, that was on the crossbar. Oh, Mr. Oliveira, what a cheeky goal.